Welcome to Sleep with Rockstars, the Gen X Sleep Podcast, because you deserve a good night's sleep, or whatever. I'm Sloane Spencer. In each Sleep with Rockstars Sleep Podcast, I will read from Wikipedia about your favorite Gen X musicians and bands. If this podcast helps you relax and fall asleep, please leave a 5-star rating and a kind review in your favorite podcast app. You may find that the more you listen, the more your mind will begin to associate these stories with sleep. So feel free to return to each episode again and again. Repetition can help create a signal to your brain that it's time to rest. And if the musical act isn't your favorite, that's perfectly okay. You don't need to pay close attention. Instead, let the words wash over you. Let their rhythm and softness lull you, not for interest, but for sleep. You're not here to be entertained. You're here to let go. Now let your breath guide you deeper into stillness. Take a moment to settle in. Gently close your eyes and let your body begin to rest. There's nowhere you need to be, nothing you need to do. This is your time, a time to let go of the day, unwind, and allow your mind to slow down. With each breath in, invite calm. With each breath out, release the tension as your body begins to soften into the surface beneath you. Imagine a gentle wave of warmth from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, carrying away the weight of the day. This evening, I will read about R.E.M. R.E.M. recorded the majority of their 12th album, Reveal, 2001, in Canada and Ireland from May to October 2000. Reveal shared the lugubrious pace of Up and featured drumming by Joey Warrenker as well as contributions by Scott McCoy, a co-founder of the band The Minus Five with Buck, and Ken Stringfellow, founder of The Posies. Global sales of the album were over 4 million, but in the United States, Reveal sold about the same number of copies as Up. That album was led by the single Imitation of Life, which reached number 6 in the UK. Writing for Rock's Back Pages, the Reverend Al Friston described the album as loaded with golden loveliness at every twist and turn. In comparison to the group's essentially unconvincing work on New Adventures in Hi-Fi and Up. Similarly, Rob Sheffield of Rolling Stone called Reveal a spiritual renewal rooted in a musical one and praised its ceaselessly astonishing beauty. In 2003, Warner Brothers released the compilation album and DVD In Time, The Best of R.E.M., 1988 through 2003, and In View, The Best of R.E.M., 1988 through 2003, which featured two new songs, Bad Day and Animal. At a 2003 concert in Raleigh, North Carolina, Barry made a surprise appearance, performing backing vocals on Radio Free Europe. He then sat behind the drum kit for a performance of the early R.E.M. song Permanent Vacation, marking his first performance with the band since his retirement. R.E.M. released Around the Sun in 2004. During production of the album in 2002, Stipe said, "The album sounds like it's taking off from the last couple of records into uncharted R.E.M. territory. kind of primitive and howling. After the album's release, Mills said, "I think honestly, it turned out a little slower than we intended for it to, just in terms of the overall speed of the songs." Around the Sun received a mixed critical reception and peaked at number 13 on the Billboard charts. The first single from the album, Leaving New York, was a top 5 hit in the UK. For the record and subsequent tour, the band hired a new full-time touring drummer, Bill Rifflin, who had previously been a member of several industrial music acts, such as Ministry and Pigface, and remained in that role for the duration of the band's active years. The video album Perfect Square was released the same year. 2006 through 2011, last albums, Recognition and Breakup. EMI released a compilation album covering R.E.M.'s work during its tenure on IRS Records in 2006 called And I Feel Fine, The Best of the IRS Years, 1982 through 1987. Along with the video album, When the Light is Mine, The Best of the IRS Years, 1982 through 1987. The label had previously released the compilations The Best of R.E.M., 1991, R.E.M. Singles Collected, 1994, and R.E.M. In the Attic Alternative Recordings, 1985 through 1989, in 1997. That same month, all four original band members performed during the ceremony for their induction into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. While rehearsing for the ceremony, the band recorded a cover of John Lennon's Number 9 Dream for Instant Karma, the Amnesty International campaign to save Darfur, a tribute album benefiting Amnesty International. The song, released as a single for the album and the campaign, featured Bill Berry's first studio recording with the band since his departure almost a decade earlier. In October 2006, R.E.M. was nominated for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in their first year of eligibility. The band was one of 5 nominees accepted into the hall that year. And the induction ceremony took place in March 2007 at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel. The group, which was inducted by Pearl Jam lead singer Eddie Vedder, performed 3 songs with Bill Berry: Gardening at Night, Man on the Moon, and Begin the Begin, as well as a cover of I Wanna Be Your Dog. Work on the group's 14th album commenced in early 2007. The band recorded with producer Jack Knifley in Vancouver and Dublin, where it played 5 nights in the Olympia Theatre between June 30 and July 5 as part of a working rehearsal. R.E.M. Live, the band's first live album, featuring songs from a 2005 Dublin show, was released in October 2007. The group followed this with the 2009 live album, Live at the Olympia, which features performances from its 2007 residency. R.E.M. released Accelerate in early 2008. The album debuted at number 2 on the Billboard charts and became the band's 8th to top the British album charts. Rolling Stone reviewer David Frick considered Accelerate an improvement over the band's previous post-Berry albums, calling it one of the best records R.E.M. have ever made. In 2010, R.E.M. released the video album R.E.M. Live from Austin, Texas, a concert recorded for Austin City Limits in 2008. The group recorded its 15th album, Collapse Into Now, 2011, with Jack Knifley in locales including Berlin, Nashville, and New Orleans. For the album, the band aimed for a more expansive sound than the intentionally short and speedy approach implemented on Accelerate. The album debuted at number 5 on the Billboard 200, becoming the group's 10th album to reach the top 10 of the chart. This release fulfilled R.E.M.'s contractual obligations to Warner Brothers, and the band began recording material without a contract a few months later with the possible intention of self-releasing the work. On September 21, 2011, R.E.M. announced via its website that it was calling it a day as a band. Stipe said that he hoped fans realized it wasn't an easy decision. All things must end, and we wanted to do it right, to do it our way. Longtime associate and former Warner Brothers Senior Vice President of Emerging Technology Ethan Kaplan has speculated that shakeups at the record label influenced the group's decision to disband. The group discussed breaking up for several years, but was encouraged to continue after a lackluster critical and commercial performance of Around the Sun. According to Mills, "We needed to prove, not only to our fans and critics, but to ourselves, that we could still make great records." They were also uninterested in the business end of recording as REM. The band members finished their collaboration by assembling the compilation album Part Lies, Part Heart, Part Truth, Part Garbage, 1982 through 2011, which was released in November 2011. The album is the first to collect songs from REM's IRS and Warner Brothers tenures, as well as three songs from the group's final studio recordings from post-Collapse Into Now sessions. In November, Mills and Stipe did a brief span of promotional appearances in British media, ruling out the option of the group ever reuniting. 2011 to present, post-breakup releases and events. In 2014, Unplugged, the complete 1991 and 2001 sessions was released for Record Store Day. Download collections of IRS and Warner Brothers rarities followed. Later in the year, REM compiled the video album box set, REM TV, which collected their two Unplugged performances, along with several other documentaries and live shows, while their record label released the box set, 7-inch, 83 through 88, made up of 7-inch vinyl singles. In December 2015, the band members agreed to a distribution deal with Concord Bicycle Music to re-release their Warner Brothers albums. In March 2016, REM signed a publishing administration deal with Universal Music Publishing Group. In March 2017, REM left Broadcast Music Incorporated, who had represented their performance rights for their entire career, and joined CSAC. The first release under CSAC was the 2018 box set, REM at the BBC, followed in 2019 by Live at the Borderline, 1991, for Record Store Day. On March 24, 2020, Rifflin died of cancer. In October 2019, during the presentation of his book of photographs in Rome, Stipe said, "I'm having dinner with Mike Mills just tomorrow night in London, and I spoke to Peter Buck last night. We're good friends, but REM's time, it's over. That's it." In September 2021, a decade after disbanding, Stipe reiterated that REM had no intention of regrouping. "We decided when we split up that that would just be really tacky and probably money-grabbing, which might be the impetus for a lot of bands to get back together." In 2023, REM was nominated for induction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and were inducted in June 2024. To mark this occasion, on June 13, 2024, all four founding members reunited for their first public live performance since 2007 and performed an acoustic rendition of Losing My Religion in New York City. They reunited for another live performance in February 2025, this time performing Pretty Persuasion at the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. In 2024, during their first interview as a foursome in 27 years, the band was asked what it would take for them to reform. "A comet," replied Mills. "Superglue," added Barry. When asked why it would not happen, Buck stated, "It would never be as good." Musical style, sound, and songwriting process. REM's music has been described as alternative rock, college rock, folk rock, jangle pop, post-punk, and new wave. In a 1988 interview, Peter Buck described REM songs as typically minor key, mid-tempo, enigmatic, semi-folk rock balladish things. "That's what everyone thinks, and to a certain degree, that's true." All songwriting is credited to the entire band, even though individual members are sometimes responsible for writing the majority of a particular song. Each member is given an equal vote in the songwriting process. However, Buck has conceded that Stipe, as the band's lyricist, can rarely be persuaded to follow an idea he does not favor. Among the original lineup, there were divisions of labor in the songwriting process. Stipe would write lyrics and devise melodies. Buck would edge the band in new musical directions, and Mills and Berry would fine-tune the compositions to their greater musical experience. Regarding Buck's driven approach, Mills said, "Someone's got to drive the train, and we were all more than happy to have Peter be our motivator." Stipe added, addressing Buck, "There's a body of work that wouldn't be there had you not been pushing us as hard as you did." Vocals and lyrics. Michael Stipe sings in what REM biographer David Buckley described as wailing, keening, arching vocal figures. Stipe often harmonizes with Mills in songs. In the chorus for Stand, Mills and Stipe alternate singing lyrics, creating a dialogue. Early articles about the band focused on Stipe's singing style, described as mumbling by the Washington Post, which often rendered his lyrics indecipherable. Cream writer John Morthland wrote in his review of Murmur, "I still have no idea what these songs are about, because neither me nor anyone else I know has ever been able to discern REM's lyrics." Stipe commented in 1984, "It's just the way I sing. If I tried to control it, it would be pretty false." Producer Joe Boyd convinced Stipe to begin singing more clearly during the recording of Fables of the Reconstruction. Stipe referred to the lyrics and the chorus of Sitting Still from REM's debut album Murmur, Nonsense, saying in a 1994 online chat, "You all know there aren't words, per se, to a lot of the early stuff. I can't even remember them." In truth, Stipe carefully crafted the lyrics to many early REM songs. Stipe explained in 1984 that when he started writing lyrics, they were like simple pictures. But after a year, he grew tired of the approach and started experimenting with lyrics that didn't make exact, linear sense, and it's just gone from there. In the mid-1980s, as Stipe's pronunciation while singing became clearer, the band decided that its lyrics shouldn't convey ideas on a more literal level. Mills explained, "After you've made 3 records, and you've written several songs, and they've gotten better and better lyrically, the next step would be to have somebody question you and say, 'Are you saying anything?' And Michael had the confidence at that point to say yes." Songs like Cuyahoga and Follow Me on Life's Rich Pageant dealt with concerns as pollution. Stipe incorporated more politically oriented concerns into his lyrics on Document and Green. "Our political activism and the content of the songs was just a reaction to where we were and what we were surrounded by, which was just abject horror," Stipe said later. In 1987 and 88, there was nothing to do but be active. Stipe has since explored other lyrical topics. Automatic for the People dealt with mortality and dying, pretty turgid stuff, according to Stipe. While Monster critiqued love and mass culture, musically, Stipe stated that bands like T-Rex and Mott the Hoople really impacted me. Instrumentation. Peter Buck's style of playing guitar has been singled out by many as the most distinctive aspect of REM's music. During the 1980s, Buck's economical, arpeggiated, poetic style reminded British music journalists of 1960s American folk rock band The Byrds. Buck has stated, "Byrds guitarist Roger McGuinn was a big influence on me as a guitar player," but said it was Byrds influenced bands, including Big Star and the Soft Boys, that inspired him more. Comparisons were also made with the guitar playing of Johnny Marr of alternative rock contemporaries, The Smiths. While Buck professed to being a fan of the group, he admitted he initially criticized the band simply because he was tired of fans asking him if he was influenced by Marr, whose band had, in fact, made their debut after REM. Buck generally eschews guitar solos, he explained in 2002. "I know that when guitars rip into this hot solo, people go nuts, but I don't write songs that suit that, and I'm not interested in that. I can do it if I have to, but I don't like it." Mike Mills' melodic approach to bass playing is inspired by Paul McCartney of the Beatles and Chris Squire of Yes. Mills has said, "I always played a melodic bass, like a piano bass in some ways. I never wanted to play the traditional locked into the kick drum root note bass work." Mills has more musical training than his bandmates, which he said has made it easier to turn abstract musical ideas into reality. Legacy and influence. REM was pivotal in the creation and development of the alternative rock genre. AllMusic stated, REM marked the point when post-punk turned into alternative rock. In the early 1980s, the musical style of REM stood in contrast to the post-punk and new wave genres that had preceded it. Music journalist Simon Reynolds noted that the post-punk movement of the late 1970s and early 1980s had taken whole swaths of music off the menu, particularly that of the 1960s, and that after post-punk's demystification and new pop schematics, it felt liberating to listen to music rooted in mystical awe and blissed-out surrender. Reynolds declared REM, "a band that recalled the music of the 1960s with its plangent guitar chimes and folk-styled vocals, and who wistfully and abstractly conjured visions and new frontiers for America, one of the two most important alt-rock bands of the day." With the release of Murmur, REM had the most impact musically and commercially of the developing alternative genre's early groups, leaving in its wake a number of jangle pop followers. REM's early breakthrough success served as an inspiration for other alternative bands. Spin referred to the REM model, career decisions that REM made that set guidelines for other underground artists to follow in their own careers. Spin's Charles Aaron wrote that by 1985, they'd shown how far an underground, punk-inspired rock band could go within the industry without whoring out its artistic integrity in any obvious way. They'd figured out how to buy in, not sell out. In other words, they'd achieved the American bohemian dream. Steve Wynn of Dream Syndicate said they invented a whole new ballgame for all of the other bands to follow, whether it was Sonic Youth or The Replacements or Nirvana or Butthole Surfers. REM staked the claim. Musically, the bands did different things, but REM was the first to show us you can be big and still be cool. Biographer David Buckley stated that between 1991 and 1994, a period that saw the band sell an estimated 30 million albums, REM asserted themselves as rivals to U2 for the title of biggest rock band in the world. Over the course of its career, the band has sold over 85 million records worldwide. Colin Larkin's all-time top 1,000 albums stated, "Their catalog is destined to endure as critics reluctantly accept their considerable importance in the history of rock." Numerous bands and artists have cited REM as an influence, including Nirvana, Pavement, Radiohead, Pearl Jam, Live, Collective Soul, Alice in Chains, Better Than Ezra, Liz Phair, and The Ocean Blue. "When I was 15 years old in Richmond, Virginia, they were a very important part of my life," Pavement's Bob Nastanovich said. "And as they were for all the members of our band." Pavement's contribution to the No Alternative compilation, 1993, was "Unseen Power of the Picket Fence," a song about REM's early days. According to their Twitter account, Local H created their name by combining the REM song titles Oddfellows Local 151 and Swan Swan H. Black Francis of the Pixies described Murmur as hugely influential on his songwriting. Kurt Cobain of Nirvana was a fan of REM and had unfulfilled plans to collaborate on a musical project with Stipe. Cobain told Rolling Stone in a 1994 interview, "I don't know how that band does what they do, God, they're the greatest. They've dealt with their success like saints, and they keep delivering great music." The Radiohead singer Tom York said Radiohead ripped off REM blind for years and cited Stipe as his favorite lyricist. On November 3, 2023, the former Monkees member Mickey Dolenz released an EP of REM cover songs. Awards. See the main article, List of Awards and Nominations Received by REM. Campaigning and Activism. Throughout REM's career, its members sought to highlight social and political issues. According to the Los Angeles Times, REM was considered to be one of the United States' most liberal and politically correct rock groups. The band's members were on the same page politically, sharing a liberal and progressive outlook. Mills admitted that there was occasionally dissension between band members on what causes they might support, but acknowledged, out of respect for the people who disagree, those discussions tend to stay in-house, just because we'd rather not let people know where the divisions lie so people can't exploit them for their own purposes. An example is that in 1990, Buck noted that Stipe was involved with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, but the rest of the band were not. REM helped raise funds for environmental, feminist, and human rights causes, and were involved in campaigns to encourage voter registration. During the Green Tour, Stipe spoke on stage to the audiences about a variety of socio-political issues. Through the late 1980s and 1990s, the band, particularly Stipe, increasingly used its media coverage on national television to mention a variety of causes it felt were important. One example is during the 1991 MTV Video Music Awards. Stipe wore a half dozen white shirts emblazoned with slogans including Rainforest, Love Knows No Colors, and Handgun Control Now. REM helped raise awareness of Aung San Suu Kyi and human rights violations in Myanmar when they worked with the Freedom Campaign and the U.S. Campaign for Burma. Stipe himself ran ads for the 1988 election, supporting Democratic presidential candidate and Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis over then-Vice President George H.W. Bush. In 2004, the band participated in the Vote for Change tour that sought to mobilize American voters to support Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. REM's political stance, particularly coming from a wealthy rock band under contract to a label owned by a multinational corporation, received criticism from former Q editor Paul Denoyer, who criticized the band's celebrity liberalism, saying, "It's an entirely pain-free form of rebellion that they're adopting. There's no risk involved in it whatsoever, but quite a bit of shoring up of customer loyalty." From the late 1980s, REM was involved in the local politics of its hometown of Athens, Georgia. Buck explained to Sounds in 1987, "Michael always says, think local and act local. We have been doing a lot of stuff in our town to try and make it a better place." The band often donated funds to local charities and helped renovate and preserve historic buildings in town. REM's political clout was credited with the narrow election of Athens Mayor Gwen O'Looney twice in the 1990s. The band is a member of the Canadian charity Artists Against Racism. In 2025, the band released a remix of their 1983 hit, Radio Free Europe, in support of the eponymous organization, which was facing severe budget cuts from the Trump organization. Members. Main members: Bill Berry, drums, percussion, backing vocals, 1990 through 1997, 2024, 2025. Occasional concert appearances with the band, 2003 through 2007. Peter Buck, guitar, mandolin, banjo, 1980 through 2011, 2024, 2025. Mike Mills, bass, keyboards, backing vocals, 1980 through 2011, 2024, 2025. Michael Stipe, lead vocals, 1980 through 2011, 2024, 2025. Non-musical members: Burtis Downs, attorney, 1980 through 2011, manager, 1996 through 2011. Jefferson Holt, manager, 1981 through 1996. Several publications made by the band, such as album liner notes and fan club mailers, list Downs and Holt alongside the four founding members. Touring and session musicians. Buren Valor. Guitar, 1986-1987. Peter Holzapfel. Guitar. Bass. Keyboards. 1989 through 1991. Scott McCoy. Guitar. Keyboards. Backing vocals. Occasional bass. 1994 through 2011. Nathan December. Guitar. Percussion. 1994 through 1995. Joey Waronker. Drums. Percussion. 1998 through 2002. Barrett Martin. Drums. Percussion. 1998. Ken Stringfellow. Keyboards. Bass. Backing vocals. Occasional guitar. 1998 through 2005. Bill Rifflin. Drums. Percussion. Occasional keyboards and guitar. 2003 through 2011. Died 2020. Discography. Studio albums. Murmur. 1983. Reckoning. 1984. Fables of the Reconstruction. 1985. Life's Rich Pageant. 1986. Document. 1987. Green. 1988. Out of Time. 1991. Automatic for the People. 1992. Monster. 1994. New Adventures in Hi-Fi. 1996. Up. 1998. Reveal. 2001. Around the Sun. 2004. Accelerate. 2008. Collapse into Now. 2011. This episode of Sleep with Rockstars was recorded May 14 through 16, 2025. From the Wikipedia article about REM, which can be found at wikipedia.org/wiki/r.e.m.